Hello, and welcome to Mr. Doom, and welcome to another episode of Scary Stories. My name's Dylan. I'm 33 years old, and I work as a traveling salesman. Most of my job involves long hours on the road, which I've always enjoyed, until one night last year changed everything. I'm not sure if I'll ever look at driving the same way again. It was late November, around 11:30 p.m., and I was heading home after a long day of meetings in a small town 3 hours from where I live. The highway was nearly deserted, the kind of quiet that makes you realize just how isolated you are. The only light came from my headlights, which cut through the darkness as I cruised down the winding, tree-lined road. About 20 minutes into the drive, I spotted something ahead on the shoulder. At first I thought it was an animal, but as I got closer, I saw it was a man. He was waving his arms, stepping closer to the edge of the road, trying to flag me down. I debated for a moment whether to stop. I've heard all the stories about people getting robbed or worse after picking up strangers, but something about the guy's frantic movements made me hesitate. He looked desperate. He was wearing a tattered coat and jeans, his hair messy and damp, probably from the light drizzle that had started. I slowed down and pulled over a few feet ahead of him. He jogged up to my passenger side window, his breath visible in the cold air. I cracked the window just enough to talk. "You okay?" I asked. "Thank God you stopped," he said, his voice shaky. "My car broke down a few miles back and my phone's dead. Can you give me a ride to the nearest gas station?" He looked normal enough, maybe in his mid-40s with a scruffy beard and tired eyes. Against my better judgment, I unlocked the door. "Hop in," I said. As he climbed in, he thanked me profusely, dropping a beat-up duffel bag on the floor by his feet. "I really appreciate this, man. I've been out there for hours. You're a lifesaver." I nodded and merged back onto the road, keeping an eye on him out of the corner of my eye. Something about him felt off. He was jittery, his hands fidgeting in his lap, and he kept glancing at me like he was sizing me up. "So, where's your car?" I asked, trying to make conversation. "Back that way," he said, jerking his thumb over his shoulder. "Ran out of gas. Stupid of me not to fill up earlier." His response was casual enough, but he didn't elaborate. I noticed he hadn't taken off his coat, even though the car was warm. And then there was the smell, a faint but unmistakable metallic odor, like rust or blood. I tried to ignore it, focusing on the road, but my unease grew with each passing minute. He wasn't talking much, just staring straight ahead, occasionally shifting in his seat. After about 10 minutes, I decided to ask him again about his car, hoping to break the tension. "What kind of car do you drive?" He didn't answer right away. Then he said, almost too casually, "Does it matter?" The question caught me off guard. "Just making conversation," I said. He let out a dry chuckle. "You don't need to know anything about me. Just drive." That's when the alarm bells started ringing in my head. I glanced at him and saw his hand moving toward the duffel bag. My grip on the steering wheel tightened as I tried to think of a way to get him out of the car without escalating things. "You know," I said, forcing a laugh, "I'm pretty low on gas myself. We might not make it to a station." He turned to look at me, and for the first time, I noticed just how cold his eyes were. "You've got enough," he said flatly. My stomach dropped. My instincts were screaming at me to get out of this situation, but I didn't know how. The road was still empty, no other cars in sight. Then, out of nowhere, he said, "You're going to take a left up ahead." "There's no left turn," I replied, my voice wavering. "You'll see it," he said, his tone leaving no room for argument. I looked ahead and saw what he was talking about, a dirt path branching off into the woods. My heart pounded in my chest as I realized I had no intention of turning. "Sorry, man, I'm sticking to the main road," I said, trying to sound firm. He leaned forward, his hand sliding into the duffel bag. "I wasn't asking." In that moment, pure panic took over. I yanked the wheel to the right, slamming on the brakes. The car skidded to a stop on the shoulder, and before he could react, I threw open my door and bolted into the darkness. I heard him shout, followed by the sound of the passenger door opening. I ran as fast as I could, the wet grass and gravel crunching under my feet. My lungs burned, and my legs felt like they were going to give out, but I didn't dare stop. The headlights of an approaching car appeared in the distance. I stumbled into the road, waving my arms wildly. The driver slammed on the brakes, their horn blaring as they skidded to a stop inches from me. "Help! Call the cops!" I yelled, my voice shaking. The driver, a middle-aged woman, rolled down her window just as the hitchhiker emerged from the shadows. But instead of coming after me, he turned and sprinted back toward my car. By the time the police arrived, he was gone. They found my car on the side of the road, the passenger door wide open and the duffel bag still inside. When they searched it, all they found was a knife and a length of rope. The officers told me I was lucky. "These things don't usually end well," one of them said. I don't know who that man was or what he planned to do, but I'll never forget the look in his eyes. I haven't picked up a hitchhiker since, and I don't think I ever will. Some risks just aren't worth taking. I don't usually drive that late at night, but that day, I had stayed longer at my buddy's place to help him set up his new home theater system. By the time I got on the road, it was close to 1 a.m., and the small suburban streets were completely empty. I like that kind of quiet. There's something calming about being the only car on the road, with nothing but the soft hum of the engine and my favorite podcast keeping me company. I had about a 45-minute drive back to my place, most of it on back roads before I hit the highway. The first half of the drive was uneventful, and I was in that zone where you're half paying attention to the road and half letting your mind wander. Then I noticed something in my rearview mirror, a pair of headlights. At first, it was just a passing observation. Another car, no big deal. But what struck me as odd was how quickly it had appeared. One moment the road was empty, and the next, this car was right there behind me. I chalked it up to someone pulling out from a side street I hadn't noticed. A few minutes passed, and I realized the car wasn't passing me. It was staying right behind me, close enough that its headlights filled my mirrors. I glanced back again and saw it was a black SUV. No license plate lights, no distinguishing features, just a dark, faceless vehicle. I figured the driver was just in a hurry. I slowed down a bit, hoping they'd overtake me, but they didn't. Instead, they slowed down too, matching my pace. Now I was starting to feel uneasy. I turned onto a smaller road, a shortcut I sometimes take to avoid the main intersections. The SUV turned too. I tried convincing myself it was just a coincidence. After all, this was a residential area. Maybe they lived nearby. But then I tested it. At the next intersection, I took a left instead of the right turn that would have led me home. The SUV followed. I turned again, this time onto an even smaller road. Same thing. It was following me. By now, my heart was pounding. I didn't know what to do. My phone was in the passenger seat, but I didn't dare pick it up. I didn't want whoever was in that SUV to think I was onto them. I decided to keep driving. If this person thought they were going to catch me in some secluded spot, I wasn't going to give them the chance. I got back onto the main road and sped up a little, trying to keep my distance. But they matched my speed perfectly. I started noticing other things about the car. Its headlights flickered occasionally, as if they weren't properly connected. The windows were tinted so dark I couldn't see anything inside, and the way it moved, it felt deliberate, almost like it was stalking me. I thought about pulling into a gas station or a 24-hour diner, but what if they stopped too? What if they got out? I didn't want to confront whoever this was. Finally, I decided to head toward the highway. At least there, I'd have more options. If I needed to, I could pull over at a well-lit rest stop or even call the cops from the road. But as I merged onto the highway, the SUV stayed right on my tail. Now I was panicking. I started weaving between cars, hoping to lose them in traffic. But they kept up, switching lanes as smoothly as I did. It was like a game of cat and mouse, and I was losing. I didn't know what else to do, so I just kept driving. I was miles from home now, heading out into the middle of nowhere. The highway stretched ahead of me, empty except for the occasional truck and that damn SUV. Then something happened that made my blood run cold. The SUV's headlights suddenly turned off. I could still see it in my rearview mirror, a dark shape trailing me in the night. But without the lights, it felt more sinister. I floored it. My little sedan wasn't built for speed, but I pushed it as hard as it could go. The SUV kept up, its engine roaring louder as it closed the gap between us. I saw an exit coming up, a small one with no visible signs of civilization. It was a gamble, but I took it. The road was narrow and winding, and I prayed it would lead me somewhere, anywhere with people. The SUV followed me off the highway, its headlights still off. Now I was really scared. My palms were sweaty, and my breaths came in short, panicked bursts. Then I saw it, a break in the trees ahead. It looked like a small parking lot, lit by a single street lamp. I pulled in, my tires screeching as I came to a stop. The SUV didn't follow. It slowed down as it approached the entrance, then stopped completely, just sitting there in the shadows. I didn't dare get out of my car. Instead, I locked the doors and kept my eyes on the rearview mirror, watching as the SUV just sat there. Minutes passed, though it felt like hours. Finally, its headlights turned back on, and it reversed back onto the road, disappearing into the darkness. I stayed in that parking lot until my heart stopped racing. Then I grabbed my phone and called the police. I gave them a description of the SUV, but without a plate number, there wasn't much they could do. To this day, I have no idea who was in that car or what they wanted, but I know one thing. I've never taken the back roads again. This happened about 5 years ago, on a cold October night. I was driving back home from my cousin's house after a late family dinner. It was about 1 a.m., and the route I was taking was one of those long, empty stretches of rural road where you can go miles without seeing another car. The kind of road that's peaceful during the day, but eerie at night. I remember thinking how quiet it was out there. Just me. My headlights carving a path through the darkness, and the occasional crackle of static from my old car radio. I was about 30 minutes from home when I spotted it. A car parked on the side of the road, hazard lights blinking. At first I thought nothing of it. Probably someone with a flat tire or engine trouble. But as I got closer, I noticed a man standing next to the car, waving me down. He looked to be in his late 40s or early 50s, wearing a heavy jacket and jeans. His car, an old station wagon, looked like it had seen better days. I'm not the type to leave someone stranded, especially not in the middle of nowhere at that hour. So, I pulled over a few feet in front of his car and rolled down my passenger side window. "Need some help?" I called out. The man walked up to my car. "Thank you," he said, his voice shaky. "My car won't start. I've been stuck out here for hours." Something about his tone seemed off. Not just desperate, but rehearsed, maybe. Still, I ignored the nagging feeling in the back of my mind. "Do you need a ride somewhere?" I asked. "No, no," he said quickly. "If you could just take a look, maybe it's something simple." I hesitated. I'm no mechanic, but I know my way around an engine. I figured it wouldn't hurt to take a quick look, so I turned off my car, grabbed a flashlight from the glove compartment, and stepped out. As I walked toward his car, I noticed something strange. There were no skid marks on the road, no sign that his car had suddenly broken down. It was just sitting there, like it had been deliberately parked. When I reached the hood, he popped it open, and I shone my flashlight inside. Everything looked fine at first glance. No smoke, no obvious damage. "I don't see anything wrong," I said, turning to face him. That's when I noticed he wasn't next to me anymore. He was standing behind me, too close for comfort. "You sure about that?" he asked, his voice lower now, almost threatening. I stepped back instinctively, my heart starting to race. Before I could say anything, I heard movement behind me. I turned and saw a second man emerging from the darkness, his face partially hidden by a hood. Panic set in. My brain was screaming at me to run, but my feet felt frozen to the ground. The first man spoke again. "We're just gonna need your wallet, your keys, and maybe that nice watch you're wearing." I glanced at my car, which suddenly seemed a million miles away. "Look, you can have whatever you want," I stammered, trying to keep my voice steady. "Just take it and let me go." The second man grinned, pulling a knife from his pocket. "Oh, we'll take it," he said. That was all the motivation I needed. I turned and bolted toward my car, adrenaline pumping through my veins. "Hey, get him!" one of them shouted. I heard their footsteps pounding behind me as I reached my car and yanked the driver's door open. But before I could get in, one of them grabbed my arm and pulled me back. I twisted free and swung my flashlight, catching the second man in the face. He stumbled back, cursing, and I used the moment to dive into the car and slam the door shut. I fumbled with the keys, my hand shaking so badly it took me 3 tries to get them into the ignition. The first man banged on the driver's side window, yelling something I couldn't make out over the sound of my heartbeat. Just as the engine roared to life, the second man appeared in front of the car, his knife raised, as if daring me to run him over. And that's when I saw it. Headlights, bright and fast, coming up behind us. A truck, a massive 18-wheeler barreling down the road. The two men must have seen it too, because they froze, caught in the truck's blinding lights. I didn't think, I just hit the gas. The man in front of my car dove out of the way as I swerved back onto the road, my tires screeching. In my rearview mirror, I saw the truck slow down, its horn blaring, as the two men scrambled back toward their car. I didn't stop. I didn't even look back again. I drove straight home, my hands gripping the wheel so tightly my knuckles turned white. When I got home, I locked every door and window in the house and called the police. They took my report, but there wasn't much they could do without a license plate or a better description of the men. To this day, I don't know what they wanted beyond robbing me, and I don't care to find out. All I know is that I got lucky that night. If that truck hadn't come along when it did, I don't like to think about how it might have ended. Now, whenever I see a car broken down on the side of the road, I think twice before stopping. Sometimes doing the right thing isn't worth the risk.